We read earlier Psalm 84, the text for the sermon, verses 10, 11, and 12. Let's read those verses together again. Psalm 84, verse 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we noted last week, the theme of Psalm 84 all has to do with the tabernacles of Jehovah and the beauty thereof. And in the opening verses of this psalm, we see how the psalmist longed for the courts of Zion. For a while, he was prevented from going to the house of God, but he wanted to be there. They were beautiful and precious to him because this is where God dwelt, and where God dwelt is where he wanted to be. And in the opening verses, his heart and flesh cried out for the living God. And in verses 5 through 8 that we considered last Sunday morning, David extols the beauty of the tabernacles of God insofar as this is the place where God strengthens his people and encourages his people as they pass through the valley of Baca. And that's what God does for us as well here in the church. He blesses us, he strengthens us, he encourages us by his word and spirit as we encounter all of the difficulties of this present life as God proclaims his word unto us. Well, this morning in the text before us, these final few verses, the beauty of the tabernacles of Jehovah is now underscored in a different way, and it's underscored for us by way of contrast. So that on the one hand, there is the world and the things of this world, and all that this world has to offer, so much pleasure, so much fun, so much carnal joy, that's the tents of wickedness. And then on the other hand, there's God's house. But there's only one position in God's house, and it's a position of a doorkeeper. To be a doorkeeper means that you won't be noticed. As you make your way through this world, you won't be noticed by others. And according to the flesh, it's not a very prestigious position. It's a position that has its own struggles and hardships and difficulties in life. But confronted with those two options, the tents of wickedness, or to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, the psalmist says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Let's consider these final few verses in Psalm 84, the theme for the sermon, a doorkeeper in God's house. Let's note the great contrast, that is, the contrast between the tents of wickedness and being a doorkeeper in God's house. In the second place, let's note the glorious reason. Actually, there are a few reasons that the text gives for why we ought to desire to be a doorkeeper. And finally, the blessedness. A doorkeeper in God's house. There's a contrast in verse 10. The contrast is that of being a doorkeeper in God's house as opposed to dwelling in the tents of wickedness. The contrast has to do with having a very lowly position in God's house over against having a very high and prestigious position in the tents of wickedness. Well, let's start here with the tents of wickedness. And what's that all about? The tents of wickedness, and here I put this very bluntly, but the tents of wickedness refers to the lifestyle of one who does not go to church, who does not go to God's temple. Now, I'll explain that more in the course of the sermon, and we'll note that, but just remember that. The tense of wickedness refers to the lifestyle of one who does not go to the church and sees no reason to go there. Now, at first glance, one might say to dwell in the tense of wickedness. And somebody says, well, isn't that all about living an ungodly and an immoral life? And yes, absolutely, that's true. And that's something that we know by experience. As we look around ourselves and we survey the world, it's easy to see that we live in ungodly times. We're surrounded with this ungodliness and immorality, and as the years go by, as the decades go by, man becomes even more bold in his outward expression of sin. The tense of wickedness is all around us. So that now at this very late date in history, we see the tense of wickedness expressing themselves with the way that society is going. Homosexuality nowadays is no longer something that's shameful, something to be repented of, but it's something that is encouraged and something that the society says it ought to be explored as a viable option for people to express themselves. All sorts of sexual sins abound in our day and age, whether it's in the way of pornography, whether it's divorce and remarriage. But in our day, man lives for himself. And the mantra of the world is, whatever you want to do, whatever fulfills the lusts of the flesh, go do it. Follow your feelings, act upon your impulses, and don't let anything hinder you in finding your joy and your happiness and your pleasure in all of the various things of the world. And it's very easy for us to see that this world in which we live is characterized this way, the tense of wickedness. Now, this we ought to know is that the tense of wickedness, as far as the flesh is concerned, the tense of wickedness speaks of a very easy and pleasurable life. And that's something that Asaph recognized earlier in Psalm 73. Asaph looked around himself at the world. He looked at the tents of wickedness, and he says, I saw their prosperity. I saw their confidence. I saw their strength. They're not in trouble as other men are. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than their hearts could wish for. And as Asaph looked around, that's a description of the tents of wickedness. Where there is prosperity, where there is pleasure, where there is carnal lusts, and where there are no rules to restrict. Everything is wide open. Nothing is forbidden. I can live for myself. I can do as I please. And I can do what I want, when I want, without anybody telling me that what I'm doing is wrong. Well, that's the tense of wickedness. And now the text goes more into detail when it describes it, because it says to dwell in the tense of wickedness. To dwell, meaning this is the way that you live. This becomes familiar to you. This is what you become comfortable doing. And that's something that's quite frightening to us. It ought to be very frightening to us when we simply consider tents of wickedness, but it ought to strike fear in our hearts when we contemplate to dwell in the tents of wickedness, so that someone says, this is where I live. This is where I dwell. This is what I call home. And that happens to people when they become more and more desensitized to sin. And after a while, it's no big deal. And after a while, it's very comfortable living in that sin. And that's something that you and I, we know that by experience. Perhaps when we were younger, being confronted with a temptation, with a sin, and how horrible, how terrible that sin was. But then we found when we committed that sin and when we engaged in that sin and we keep on committing that sin, well, it becomes easier living in that sin. And now I don't feel quite as guilty committing that sin as the first time when I committed that sin. And if that is not repented of, then that kind of a person is dwelling in the tents of wickedness. To dwell in the tents of wickedness then refers to a lifestyle opposed to God, opposed to God's law, and this is the way that a person lives. And in that state, that man, woman, or child says, "This is what I call home." But now I said earlier that to dwell in the tents of wickedness refers to the lifestyle of one who does not go to church. Now, yes, obviously it refers to outward, wicked, immoral lifestyle that we've just been describing, but the text is describing the tents of wickedness and now giving unto us a mental image, a picture of that kind of a person who lives apart from or away from the house of God. And that's obvious from the whole context of Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is all about the beauty of the courts of God. The psalmist is extolling God and the beauty of the church. And the psalmist even envies the sparrows who are able to live in the courts of God under the shadow of the altar. And the psalmist is saying, I had rather be in God's house than outside of it. Because to be outside of God's house is to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He didn't want to be outside God's house at all. Because out there, no matter where is out there, is the tents of wickedness. So now, here, consider a slightly different man or woman before us. A man or a woman who outwardly leads a moral life. Doesn't do drugs. Doesn't divorce his or her spouse. Good worker. Shows up on time. Lots of people in the world like that. But insofar as that man, that woman, that family lives outside of the house of God, apart from the house of God, a man who says, I don't want to go to church, I don't need to go to church, I really have no use for the tabernacles of God, there's no convincing message that I hear out of that house anyways, then that man too, even for all his outward moral living, shows contempt for God and for God's house, and that man who despises God, thus living in the tents of wickedness. So that all of the above, what we've just been describing, that's what it means when the text says to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Very frightening, very horrible. We don't want to be there. But now, what's the other scenario? The text says, to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Very lowly position. To be a doorkeeper, literally this word refers to one who stands at the threshold. One who stands at the threshold being the bottom part of the door, so that the person who now is standing at that threshold of the door, the King James Version translating this word as the doorkeeper. A doorkeeper would be a very lowly position. Now you think of a doorkeeper, perhaps there for the tabernacle or even for the temple later on. There were other positions that were more honorable in the temple service. Being a scribe or a priest, or being a Levite who would assist the priests in all of the work of the temple, but to be a doorkeeper was probably one of the lowliest positions in God's house. To be a doorkeeper often meant hard work. It meant opening large wooden doors, perhaps even large wooden gates. To be a doorkeeper meant bearing the burdens of those who entered through those gates. To be a doorkeeper was often a thankless position, because after all, who notices a doorkeeper? I suppose it's something like being a janitor, being the caretaker in church, keeping the grounds of church, serving refreshments now and then after a worship service, recording and posting sermons online, managing and distributing the bulletin, and other duties within the church. And insofar as you and I might be those who perform those duties, we're happy, we're content. And it's nice when people notice when we perform those duties and when they say thank you, but it's not something we expect, because to be a doorkeeper is often a thankless position. And finally, a doorkeeper was not a job that paid well, if anything at all. Other jobs paid much more. To be a doorkeeper meant to live off very little and to have a very meager living. And now the psalmist, confronted with those two scenarios, to dwell in the tents of wickedness and everything that I could have in those tents, or to be a doorkeeper, lowly and unrecognized in the house of my God. The psalmist says, I had rather be that doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And note that this is his desire. This is what he wants. He wants this in the depths of his soul. I would rather. And this means that this isn't a hasty decision on his part, but rather this is his choice. Seeing the tents of wickedness and what they have to offer, and then considering being a doorkeeper in the house of my God. And the psalmist says, I choose to be that doorkeeper. That's what I want. And we see the same thing, not only with the psalmist, but earlier in the Old Testament. This was the exact same desire of Moses. Moses, having grown up in the house of Pharaoh, Moses coming to the point in his life when he had to make a choice between the tents of wickedness and to be a doorkeeper in the house of his God. And we learn of this in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, verses 25 and 26. Actually, 24 through 26. And let's read that. Hebrews 11, verse 24 and following. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. But that's Moses, when he was growing up in the house of Pharaoh, spread out before him were the tents of wickedness. Moses, who was trained and grew up in the education of the Egyptians, a very wise and a very smart and a very talented and gifted man. And for a while, he was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which meant that he would become a prince. He was destined to be a gifted leader among all of the Egyptians, and his fellow Egyptians would honor him and hold him in high regard, being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and to carry that title for the rest of his life would mean honor for Moses. People would hold him in high regard. Moses could have the best food in all of the land. He'd live in the palace. He'd have a life of luxury. But the desire of Moses' heart was to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, which is simply another way of saying that Moses would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of his God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. To make it so emphatic, the psalmist says in verse 10, Psalm 84, verse 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Better than 1,000 what? Well, better than 1,000 days anywhere else. So that the psalmist is saying, give me simply one day in God's house, and I would derive more joy and more pleasure and more happiness and more peace than 1,000 days out there in the tents of wickedness. And that means for us that one Sunday in God's house is better than 1,000 days down south in some warm climate if we were apart from God. One Sunday in God's house is better than 1,000 days of holiday if we would live apart from God. One Sunday in God's house is better than 1,000 days cruising around the world with all the money I could think of, so long as I would be living apart from God." And note what the text says, not one year in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Not one month in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. But one day is better than 1,000. And the psalmist is saying, give me even the smallest glimpse of my God. Give me the smallest taste of his grace. That's what I want. Over 1,000 days in the tents of wickedness. And beloved, is that your desire? And is that my desire? To be a lowly doorkeeper in the house of my God. And you understand that there's no middle ground here. We are either for God or against him. And this tells us that the life of the child of God is an antithetical life. It's a life where we stand opposed to sin and evil, and we stand on the side of truth and justice and righteousness and holiness. And this is the desire that must characterize my whole life, to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. This is a desire that must color all of my earthly conversation, so that it's not possible to be a doorkeeper in God's house on Sunday only for me to exit the doors of the sanctuary and Monday morning enter into the tents of wickedness for 6 days. That's not how it works. That's not an option for the child of God. But to be a doorkeeper in God's house 24/7, not only when I am around others, at work, out in public, but when I am at home with my family, when I am in my room all by myself, a doorkeeper in God's house, in my mind, in my thoughts, a doorkeeper in God's house. And so, people of God, which will it be? The enjoyment of sin for a season? Living in the tents of wickedness? Or to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God? The psalmist says enthusiastically and joyfully, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Why does he say that? Why is that his decision and choice? And here we come, what's his reasons? Well, from Psalm 84, from the text, there are a number of reasons why he would rather be a doorkeeper. Obviously, this is the work of God's Spirit and grace within his hearts to open his eyes to see and behold the loveliness of God's tabernacle, and for the psalmist to say, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to raise my family and bring up my children, in the courts of God, not in the tents of wickedness, but in the courts of God. This is all due to God's strength and God's grace working in his heart. But now we can go on. There's more from Psalm 84, and this goes back a few verses, but to verse 7, where we read, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. And this tells us why the psalmist would rather be in the courts of God, is because this is where he receives strength. This is where he's fed. This is where he's nourished. This is where he grows strong. He understands that if it were not for the courts of God, he would grow weak. He would stumble and fall. He would become vulnerable to the enemy. And so he says, I want to be in the courts of God, even if that means that I'm on the outskirts of the temple, in that lowly position of a doorkeeper, but still there's no better place for me to be, because that will be the place I receive strength. In the second place, the reason for his desire to be a doorkeeper in God's house is because simply in the tabernacles of God, this is where God is. And that's what we read in verse 10. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. So that this is God's house. This is where God dwells. To be present in the tabernacles of God, therefore, is to live with God. It's to fellowship with him. It's the conscious enjoyment of the everlasting covenant of grace that God establishes with his people. And if this is where God is, then this is where my Savior is. And the child of God always says, I want to be with Christ my Savior. I want to be where he is. I don't want to be in the tents of wickedness. In the tents of wickedness, there's only the power of sin and the guilt of sin to bring me down unto death. I want to be where Christ my Savior is. And where Christ my Savior is, there's freedom. True Christian freedom, freedom from the guilt of sin, freedom from the power of sin, a freedom that is found in Christ alone through his sacrifice on the cross. And the child of God says, if you remove me from Christ, and if you take me out of his house, if you pull me away from his presence, then I'm undone. Then I am of all men most miserable. And so we want to be in the house of God because God is present. And there is the presence of Jesus, my Savior. And we can say more. Why does the psalmist so want to be even a lowly doorkeeper in the house of his God? Because he knows the end for all those who are a doorkeeper. He knows the end of those even who dwell in the tent of wickedness. The end for those who dwell in the tent of wickedness is that even as they lived apart from God in this life, so also into all eternity they will live apart from God. And that will be not an annihilation, but that will be conscious life experiencing the torment of God in the condemnation of hell, living apart from God. But being a doorkeeper in the house of my God in this life, we may have the deep assurance that we will continue to occupy a place in God's house in the life to come. I'd rather be a doorkeeper now in the house of my God. And yet that's not all. The psalmist still goes on to give more reasons why he'd rather be a doorkeeper. And now, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And there the Lord is compared to the sun. The Lord is a sun. Well, what does the sun in the sky do? The sun is that which gives warmth and life to the earth. It brings warmth, it brings energy. Without the sun, there would be no life. There would be coldness and darkness, and there would be only death. The Lord is a sun unto us, which means he is the source of all our life, both physically and spiritually. All that I am, I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. Isaiah 60, verse 19, speaks of the coming day of the Messiah and in what way God will give us life and warmth and energy. Isaiah 60, verse 19, the sun in the sky shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, because outside there is only darkness and death, but inside the house of God is light and life, because Jehovah is my light. And God is not only a sun unto us, but he is also a shield. The shield here being a symbol of protection, so that the soldier goes out into battle, he holds up his shield, and that shield protects him from all of the attacks of the enemy, from all of the arrows of the enemy. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, because outside of God's house, I am vulnerable to the enemy and I fall to the enemy, but inside God's house, I am safe. And I am protected under the shadow of his wings. And then further this too, why a doorkeeper in the house of my God? Verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And now that phrase, walking uprightly, that's describing you and me as we would occupy that lowly position of a doorkeeper. It's an upright life. Speaking of a man, woman, or child who's walking in harmony with all of the commandments of God. Speaking of a man who's complete. A man who isn't pulled off in all different directions at every beckon of sin, but a man in whose heart is full of integrity and honor, a young woman who is sincere and genuine in her love for God and love for her Savior and shows it in all her life. Well, that's the doorkeeper walking uprightly. And then as we occupy that lowly position, walking uprightly, the text says, no good thing does God withhold from us. And if God does not withhold any good thing from us, that simply means that God gives us every good and perfect thing. Everything that we stand in need of in this life, as we occupy that position of a doorkeeper, God grants us. And that's something that we know by experience. We look back in our lives, and there are times when we were poor and destitute, maybe even starving at times, and we see, God took care of me. He gave me what I needed, and what he gave me was good. He didn't withhold what I needed from him in the moment. And our God is good to every doorkeeper in his house. And so, beloved, what do you stand in need of at this very moment? Are you in need of comfort? Are you in need of peace? Are you in need of fellowship? Are you in need of encouragement for your weary pilgrimage? Whatever you stand in need of, God knows. And it's here in God's house that he provides us lowly doorkeepers with all that we need. And has he not given you the greatest good gift? Has he not given unto us the Lord Jesus Christ, not withholden his only begotten Son for us men and our salvation? He has. If God has not withholden the greatest gift imaginable, will he not also provide for your daily bread and your daily needs? He will. He will. The Bible says, all things are yours. The Apostle Paul says, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. And for all those reasons, the psalmist says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And what blessedness it is to occupy even that lowliest position in God's house. Great blessedness. Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in thee. Blessed is the man. To be blessed means to be supremely happy. Even though the circumstances in life may be hard, and even though the trials and the pain in life presses out of me tears day after day, and yet when I am blessed of God, when I am a recipient of his grace, when I know that he has brought me into his courts, never to be taken out, then I am blessed. And we are happy in the depth of our souls. Though all things in life seem to be against you, you get sick, you have chronic pain, taking care of the family becomes more and more difficult. You lose your house. You lose all your possessions on account of your discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You lose all your friends. You are all alone. All of those things may be true of you and of me, but insofar as you occupy even that lowly, thankless position of a doorkeeper in the house of my God, you are blessed. That's what matters in life. Not what men may say to me, not how men would commend me, but what is God's word to me. And God blesses that lowly doorkeeper. We are the objects of his grace. His countenance shines upon us. And God gives us to know this blessedness. We are not forever left wondering, does the blessing of God rest upon me? But what does the text say in that last verse, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Do you trust in God? To trust in God means to exercise your faith. believing that God is faithful to all his promises. Exercising our faith means that we rely upon God when things are going contrary to our expectations in life. We trust and have no doubt that he will fulfill all his promises, that he will care for us in this life, and afterward bring us to heavenly glory. Do you trust in God? Now we do. We do. Now somebody might say though, but how do I know? How do I know if I trust in God? Sometimes I feel as if I don't. Sometimes I feel that I'm very, very drawn to the tents of wickedness. How do I know if I trust God? Well, beloved, what is the desire of your heart? Is the desire of your heart and mine to dwell in the tents of wickedness? We see those tents and all that they have to offer. Or is our desire for that position of a doorkeeper in God's house? And there are times when we sin, we lust at what we see going on in the tents of wickedness, but what is the desire that God has placed in your heart? And by faith, we say, I long for the courts of Zion. With the psalmist, we say, how amiable are thy courts, O God. And beloved, that's faith. That is trusting in God. And that faith is not of yourself, but it is the gift of God, and you may know that you are the blessed of God. And this blessedness of desiring the courts of God, it doesn't end in this life. God gives unto us a rich measure of that grace so that we may know we are the objects of his blessing. But that blessing will come to its fruition and to its climax in the life to come, in the new heavens and the new earth. And what a blessedness and what a happiness that will be when God brings us to heavenly glory. Because now on this earth, we occupy the lowly, thankless position of a doorkeeper. And we are happy with that position. We are content with that position. But in that day, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will rule over all things. Know ye not, the apostle says, that we will judge angels? And if a doorkeeper is a lowly position in heaven, we will be given the greatest position of all God's creatures, the place of honor and glory, of ruling with Christ over all things. And even then, the best thing of all, dwelling in the courts of God forever and ever, praising our Lord and singing his praises. People of God, do you long for that blessedness in the courts of God, in the new heavens and the new earth? And we do. We long for that day. And therefore, show your longing for the blessedness and glory that is to come. Show it now in this life, in your desire for God's house, in your desire for the courts of God. And may God grant that desire, and may he ever dwell with us here in our midst, here in the house of our God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word applied unto our hearts. Open our eyes to see the horror of the tents of wickedness and to see the beauty of the courts of God. We are thankful for that position of a doorkeeper in which we may enjoy all the blessings of the house of God, that we may enjoy Jesus our Savior, and that we may live unto him. Give us grace, give us purity, sanctify our minds and our lives, and gives us contentment as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ as we sojourn in the midst of this world. Forgive our sins, bless us in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.